Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18. I don't know why I remember typing 11, but it's not 11. It's 18. It is chapter 18, beginning at verse 35. I know some of you were probably ready, so I'll give you an extra second to find it. Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 35. And I will be reading through the end of the chapter, which is verse 43. Hear now the word of the Lord. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. May the Lord bless this reading and hearing of his holy and inspired word. There was a man who had his heart broken in the 1940s when he couldn't play hockey with his brothers. He was born blind. So for most of his life, he could only imagine what other people were explaining to him in detail about colors and what things looked like. For years, he walked around with one of the canes so he wouldn't run into things in front of him. But at the age of 66, this man fell down some stairs in an apartment building and he fractured the bones in his face. A team of doctors went to work to repair those bones. And sometime later, he went to visit with a plastic surgeon for a consultation about repairing the nasty scar that was on his scalp. And then the surgeon asked the man, almost casually, "Oh, while we're in there, do you want us to fix your eyes too?" The man did not understand what in the world he was talking about, and he didn't have a clue how to respond. It was at that moment that he figured out that his particular form of blindness was curable. It wasn't curable whenever he was a young boy, but it had been now for decades. Not long after that, he had the surgery. And after the surgery, he could truly see for the very first time in his life. Suddenly, his whole world consisted of bright colors. And he talked about how awestruck he was by the flowers and the blooming trees and everything around him. This man could finally see, and as beautiful of a story as that is, there is a sad reality that goes along with it. He could have seen at a much younger age. He could have had his sight much earlier in his life. He had assumed that the possibility of healing his eyes was impossible. There was no possibility. And he just made up his mind that he was going to live a life of blindness, when in reality he could have decades earlier regained his sight. We live in a world that is full of brokenness, it is full of suffering, and we all know something of each one of those. Some of the suffering, some of the brokenness can be self-inflicted. But ultimately, however, all brokenness, all suffering is the result of the fall. It is the result of sin. By Adam's fall, he plunged all of us, all of humanity, into a world of brokenness and suffering. And everybody experiences the effects of the fall. No one is immune to it. And blindness is one of the effects of the fall. During his ministry on earth, Jesus healed people of many types of diseases, many types of ailments, including blindness. And in today's lesson, we're going to learn about Jesus healing a blind beggar when he is near Jericho. But unlike the man from the story that I just told you, this blind beggar comes to Jesus immediately, as soon as he knows that he can. And he asks to be saved. And as we will learn, the beggar had a lot more than just his eyesight restored whenever he came to Jesus. So Jesus is on his final trip to Jerusalem. He was just days away at this point, being in Jericho. He's just days away from Jerusalem. And while traveling, he had to pass through Jericho. And Jericho is about 6 miles from the Jordan River, just north of the Dead Sea. It was a tax collection center in those times on a major highway to Jerusalem, which was just 18 miles away. 18 miles from Jerusalem. And that's where he's been going the whole time here in Luke since about chapter 9. Now, by this time, there was a crowd traveling with Jesus. They're all crowded around him. Everyone wants to see the next thing that he's going to do. They want to follow him. They know he's going to Jerusalem. They knew that Jesus was a truly remarkable person. His preaching was profound. It was something like they had never heard before. It touched a deep chord in their hearts and in their souls as they heard him speak. He taught them about God. He taught them how to enter the kingdom of God and how to receive the gift of eternal life. They were drawn to his message of God's mercy and God's grace. That's something that they were not accustomed to. And he offered it to everyone. He offered it to all sinners. And the crowd was so astonished by all of the miraculous deeds, by Jesus demonstrating this power that he had over nature and demons and disease and even death itself. Now, don't get it wrong. Jesus wasn't a magician. He wasn't out there doing parlor tricks for people to see. When Jesus healed someone, they were completely transformed. It wasn't just the ailment that was gone. They were saved, and it showed. Now, there was an air of expectancy that surrounded Jesus on this final trip to Jerusalem. There was excitement in the crowd, probably an electric excitement that followed along with Jesus everywhere that he went. You know, what is he going to do next? What is he going to heal this time? What's he going to do? So Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and all of these people, as we find out later by their actions as he is entering Jerusalem, all these people think that Jesus is coming to set up his messianic kingdom. That is what they're expecting. By this time, they know the claim. They've seen the power. They know he's going to Jerusalem. And they are expecting him to come as the conquering Messiah. But they misunderstood that Jesus first had to be the suffering Messiah, the suffering servant, and that he would come as the conquering Messiah in his second coming. So it was in this context of this trip to Jerusalem that Jesus healed this blind beggar outside of Jericho. And this was Jesus' last miracle that Luke records. Luke does not record another miracle that Jesus performs. This is the last one. So, this man was in a bad shape. Luke said in verse 35 that as Jesus drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. Now, there are two things to note about this man. that Jesus encountered as he came near to Jericho. And first, he was blind. He was really blind. He couldn't see anything. Luke doesn't tell us how he became blind. You know, we don't know if he's been blind since birth. We don't know if it happened to him at some point during his life. But regardless, he was blind. And second, as a result of his blindness, he had been reduced to sitting on the roadside begging for people to help him. That's all he could do. He had absolutely nothing because of his blindness, and he was totally dependent on the mercy and the compassion of other people as they came by. But just because he was blind didn't mean the man didn't have any vision. Okay? Hearing a crowd going by as he was sitting on the roadside begging, the blind man inquired what this meant. That's verse 36. He was sitting at a strategic location, okay, on the side of the road in order to beg from people as they came by. He hadn't just willy-nilly plopped down somewhere and kind of heard a rustle and wondered what it was. No, he was sitting on the roadside at a place where he knew people had to pass by him so he could beg. The road from Jericho to Jerusalem, it had a lot of travelers. There were a lot of people who came through there. It was a great spot to beg from people. But now there was a large surge of people going through. He could hear, I mean, you know how loud a crowd is. A crowd, they can't even, if a crowd is just together, they don't even have to try to be loud. Just the roar of people talking amongst themselves, it gets loud quickly. So this beggar, hearing this and knowing he can hear how many people are going by, he asked, what in the world is going on? And so they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. So why did they say Jesus of Nazareth is passing by and not Jesus is passing by? Because Jesus was a very common name in that time. It is from the Old Testament named Joshua. It was Aramaic. It was actually pronounced Yeshua. And that name was very common, just as the name Joshua is today. Very common. If you've been alive for any amount of time, you've probably known numerous Joshuas or Joshes or however they pronounce it. It was a very common name, so by identifying him as Jesus of Nazareth, this man would know exactly who he was, because there was only one Jesus of Nazareth that would have a huge crowd following around him. And he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Even though this blind man couldn't physically see, there are several things that he could see. First, he could see who Jesus was. This blind man did not say, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. He said, Jesus, Son of David. And that is significant. The blind man knew that title, Son of David, that it was from that any Jew would have known that from the Old Testament that it was believed that God would send a son of David to save his people. By giving him this title, he is acknowledging who he believes him to be. This man acknowledged him as the Savior that God had promised to send his people. Now, undoubtedly, this man has heard about the preaching of Jesus, about the kingdom of God, and he's probably heard about the miracles, which is why he's crying out to him. He's heard the miracles and all of the healings. But while a lot of the people that were following Jesus probably only saw him as a preacher and some kind of miracle worker, this blind man saw him as the Son of David, the Savior of sinners. How do you see Jesus? Do you see Jesus as a preacher and a miracle worker? Do you see him as a great teacher of morality? I've heard that one before. He's just a great teacher of morality. You see him as a religious leader that started a world religion? Or do you see him as Jesus, the Son of David, the one sent by God to save his people? God the Son. Now, the second thing that this blind man could see was his own need. You know, a lot of times we are blind to our own needs, maybe what we need the most. But he cried out, he said, "Have mercy on me." This blind man actually has several needs, and it's not just his eyesight. First, it's likely that he did want physical healing. I mean, you can imagine he wanted to be able to see. He was blind. He had heard Jesus had healed blind people before, and he wanted him to do the same thing for him. But this blind man also needed money, because that's why he was sitting on the side of the road begging to start with. He wasn't sitting there with a sign that says, "We'll work for food." He can't work. He can't see anything. This man was so poor, he had to beg on the side of the road, and he had no other choice. There was not an alternative for him. So it is possible that maybe he wanted some help financially also. But his greatest need, it wasn't physical, and it wasn't monetary, it was spiritual. He had a spiritual need. Because he called Jesus the Son of David, because he asked for mercy and not healing, it is clear that he was aware of his own spiritual state. He knew where he was at. Now, you may think for just a second, think about where you can get in your own mind if you're just having a bad run of luck. Okay? If you're just having things have just not been going your way for a couple days, a week, a couple weeks, a month. And you can really kind of get down and you can start to think, "Man, come on." And this man knows what state he